Hey, you didn't answer. Hey, Nan, I wanted you to answer. Answer me. Nan. I like your name, you know. Short and simple, but low and sweet, like a murmur. Nan. Nancy, or Nanette, Nantucket, or just Nan. What a name. Hey, Nan. Hey. I had such a nice time. That's usually what people say on these calls when they meet someone, right? A nice time. I'm trying not to be usual. I'm trying. You just met a girl, gave her your number, and she calls you late the same night, after you're already in bed, asleep, and leaves you a message saying she doesn't like being usual. But, Nan, you're not so usual yourself.
Episode 10, March 1997.
Tonight was nice. Yes, nice. Also, it was kind of more than that. It was electric. It was tense. It was suspicious. It was forbidden. It was drunk. It was definitely, still is, drunk. But here's the thing. Like, I know I don't sound of sound mind, but here's the thing. Are you ready for the thing, Nan? I don't lie. I especially don't lie when I'm drunk. I'm completely, entirely honest. Just maybe a bit larger in my feelings. Like, bigger emotions, grander words than I would tell you at 11 a.m. on a Monday morning, but still the same. Like, when you turn the volume knob on the radio up to 9, it's still the same music. It's just louder. When you boil water, it's still water, it's just hotter. When you inflate a balloon, it's still a balloon, only bigger and brighter. And I'm drunk, and I'm loud, and I'm hot, and I'm bright, Nan. While you're drunk, and you're asleep, and you're a secret. Coming to our show with your grey pullover and your brown hair tied back in a tail and your posture. That posture. You're a proper student. I kept waiting for you to raise your hand so the teacher would know how smart you are. Teacher, I know.
A synonym for artist is insurgent.
Yes, Nan. You get a gold star for that. Let me place this sticker gently on your lips. Or, what if I put it on my lips first and then placed it softly on yours? Gold star, Nan. Well deserved. Anyway, I saw you sitting out there in the audience. Didn't think you'd be the kind to stick around after the curtain fell. A nice time we had there at the end, right? My teacher and student metaphor doesn't seem so appropriate for the after show. Altogether too much kissing. What shade of pink was that? It's not coral. It's too fiery. Not magenta. That's so austere. Bubblegum? Immature. Watermelon? Could be. But that's so pale. It would wash out your skin. Maybe it was just pink. As straightforward as can be. But it's you. You're pink. You're ubiquitous and reliable. You're soft but bright. Assertive, mistaken for passive. Is it too much to say I miss you when I just met you? The correct answer is no. Maybe you disagree. You're allowed to disagree now. You'll get your gold star taken from your pink lips, though. That would be fun. But what were you doing there? In our grubby, angry little theatre? In pink lips aside, you looked like you'd come straight from work at the bank. Or the library. Or the government. What is your job? Did you tell me? Where we were kissing, did you tell me what you do? I can't remember. I'm drunk. And you kiss too well to expect anyone to remember what you were saying while you did it. Something government. Something agency. Are you a spy, Nan? Are you a hot pink spy? What would your co-workers think, Nan, if they knew you were coming to watch insurrectionist performance art? All of your stiff-backed friends with their grey suits and fancy watches and narrow, flinty eyes. They would probably ask, why? And you would tell them, and they would say, oh. And they would change the subject to bar graphs or internal memos, because that's what their formica souls crave. But you, I don't know what your soul's made of. It's certainly beautiful, but is it soft? Is it pliable and bland like clay? Does it need to be shaped into its true form? Or maybe your soul is impenetrable like a jewel, ornate and rare, but hardened by years of compression. What would the subversive artists think, Nan, if they knew you were coming to watch their show? All these cynical idealists with their disgruntled disquiet, their painted bodies and disruptive language and grotesque dance. They would probably say, who's the cop? And I would tell them, hands off, she's mine. And they would not change the subject to prop stations and costume repair because they fear arrest the way they fear a tattoo. It'll be painful, yeah, but a proud mark of a proud artist. Their souls are made of leaves. Their souls grow and sway and change and die and rot and renew. Being prematurely plucked away is part of the profession. At least the fear of it is. Although I don't think any of them have ever known anyone who was. It's all this one time in the 80s, or my friend's husband's co-worker something was. Artists getting disappeared is like the boogeyman. It probably doesn't happen, but what if it does? I don't know, Nan. You're not just some tool of the system. You're different. That's what we usually say, right? Not this one. They're different. We can't know that, but we can't know anything. I'm just going off intuition. I'm relying on my gut, and my gut says, I'm drunk, Indra, figure it out yourself. And I did. I figured out you're different. I figured it out based on your lips because they're pink and soft and they smiled at the right spots in the show. That's the data on my bar graph. That's my internal memo. Attention, Indra. Regarding hot cop, second row. Kiss that spy before the night's over. And I did. Something about you doesn't fit, though, Nan. Something about you isn't a cop. You shouldn't be a government worker. You should be inside on a winter's day. You should be by a fire drinking hot rum. You should be writing mystery novels surrounded by dogs. I don't even know why you were there tonight. I didn't even ask you if you liked the show. Did you like the show? Don't say yes. And don't say it was interesting. In fact, don't answer that at all. Wake up. Come over. Kiss me again. Now, most answer phones cut me off after 5 minutes. I assume this is still recording. That tape just lets me talk and talk. It loves my voice. Recording every little word, huh? Funny.
Tired of walking around shirtless because you don't have a single upper body article of clothing that expresses your intense love of the immersive fiction podcast Within the Wires? Are you having to scrawl the words Within the Wires on your chest with a faded Sharpie you found at the bottom of your backpack one day, but it's hard to write upside down so the letters are mostly illegible and you misspelled wires as Ryas? Do you find that damselfly logo hard to draw, especially on skin? Well, stop that. Actually, don't stop that. I think it's pretty cool you went through so much trouble to show your love of our show. Thank you. But I personally, just me, find t-shirts much more convenient for that sort of thing. And we have brand new Within the Wires shirts in our store. The incomparable Emily Tatt designed a damselfly shirt that glows in the damn dark. And the impeccable Dave Watt created a Season 3 dictaphone recording device shirt that looks like a cool retro film poster. Plus, we have Rob Wilson's classic Within the Wires logo shirt and his Season 2 museum shirts, which are
arty as hell.
Maybe you're also tired of the walls in your home or dorm or office being shirtless as well, and you want to cover them up. Come on, walls. I have friends coming over. Try to look decent. Well, you can buy your walls some posters, like the Within the Wires logo or Jessica Hayworth's stunning rendition of Claudia Atieno's Child with Damselfly, as featured in Season 2. It's a real art print. It's classier than all get out. You can get shirts and posters at withinthewires.com and then click on shirts and posters. That's a lot of complicated steps, so I recommend writing them down on your arm using that old Sharpie. Again, withinthewires.com, click on shirts and posters.
I spoke too soon. Did you ever read Emma and the Damselfly? It was required reading for year fives. Don't know where your youth centre was, but they made us read it. It's about this little girl who likes bugs. Like, she can't get enough of them. And her teachers think this curiosity is so good that little kids should find their own interests, like blah, blah, blah. Then one day, Emma traps a spider and pokes it with a glass shard, watching it rear up and thrash its front legs. She pokes it until it dies. Then she collects butterflies and starts pinning them to a corkboard, and the administrators in her training facility become worried because she's a fucking sociopath, like loving things so much that she has to torture and kill them. Then one day, she's alone in the woods because, I don't know, her teachers are shit at their jobs, and Emma finds a damselfly. And I love this part of the book because the author, oh God, what was her name? Marianne something? Miriam? Madeline? Whatever. The author drew a picture of the damselfly. It's the only art in the book and it's such a lovely creature. When I was 10, I stared at that drawing so much. I touched his wings, which looked like stained glass. I imagined I could feel the lines of ink on the printed page, that if I closed my eyes, I could feel each line, like each division, that I could feel its slender green body, its disco ball eyes. I loved that picture. I had it put on my body. I'll show you where next time. And I still run my fingers over it almost every day. But this little twerp, Emma, takes the damselfly and tears its wings off and leaves the poor creature on a rock to get eaten by a bird. My friend Liv, like, you met her, she was the one with the aviator goggles and capuchin monkey. Like, it's not her monkey. Like, she borrowed Ted, that's the monkey's name, for our show tonight from a friend. Ted shit all over our stuff backstage, and Liv hardly even used him in her piece. But we didn't argue with her because, you know, it's easier not to argue with Liv. Anyway, Liv has this old, unedited copy of the collected works of Robert Browning. There's a line in one of his poems where he says, "So a fool finds mirth, makes a thing and then mars it, till his mood changes and off he goes." And that's this girl. Emma's psychopathic god complex just lets her toy with living beings all she wants. And she just watches the bird eat the bug and then goes on about her day. I cried at that part. I cried so much. Because it was such a betrayal. To show so much love. To show so much interest in something only to care about its destruction. And like, the book makes this point that killing things is bad. Yes, of course. But it's also nature to explore and learn. And she has this heroic arc where the biology instructor sees this whole thing and then takes Emma under her arm and shows her how to turn her heartless cruelty into heartless scientific research. Blah, blah, blah. Like, violence is bad except when it's necessary. I'm not even a vegetarian, Nan, so I'm a hypocrite, I guess, but I'm crying again thinking about it. Just, it's the worst book. Like, I hated it. I don't remember why I even brought it up. I'm just feeling things and then sharing them. Cut me off again. Rude. Honestly, when I heard the click, my heart clapped like a door slamming shut, because instead of the tape ending my message, I thought you were picking up the phone and I panicked. Because what if you were listening to all of this, transcribing every crazy thought of mine, like, "It's all on tape, Indra," you'd say, and then armed guards would pound down my door. To be honest, Nan, it's kind of sexy to think you have that kind of power. I'm turned on just thinking about it. Is that what you do? You kissed me too hard and I forgot who you were. I forgot who I was. Call me when you wake up. Come back downtown tomorrow and kiss me again. Maybe cuff me. Tell me I've been naughty and I need to learn to respect the society. But it's okay. I'm not going to incriminate myself any further. I'm being careful. I've written it all out now, so I know what I'm going to say. Nothing political. What is politics anyway? We're just two people. We met, we kissed. I would like to kiss you again, so you might be a spy. I won't let that stand in our way. There are other things that stand in our way, I'm sure. Probably this call from a girl you've known for 3 hours and who leaves 20 minutes worth of voice message after one sort of date. That's probably the top thing standing in our way. Maybe you're already seeing someone. That could stand in our way. I am seeing someone, but that's fine. It's not serious. It's fine. I'm open to monogamy. I've just never tried it. Maybe death stands in our way. Maybe one of us gets cancer or a blood disorder or gets hit by a bus or murdered. That's morbid, sorry. But to be honest, death's a pretty big obstacle in a relationship. Or time. I mean, that's it, isn't it? Time gets us all. I don't mean dying. I just mean erosion. We're so drunk, so full of passion, our hot tongues and quickened breaths, our anxiousness to see each other, to explore bodies, to devour wholly our souls. I want you so much. I want to put you in my mouth. I want to swallow you down, to feel you within me, to digest you. And don't be freaked out, because in time I'll want that less. I'll see you as a person with nuances and faults and intricacies. And we will devour each other wholly, but slowly, piece by piece, a fingernail here, a lock of hair there, an eyeball, an idea, a disagreement, a bad dream, a laugh, one tiny part at a time. We will eventually be fully with and without each other. And we will see one another as we see ourselves. And we will grow complacent, and you'll become a little more laid back, and I'll become a little more professional with my teaching job and pension and a wife, probably some cats, and no longer any relevance to speak of. It's disgusting. It's terrible. What time will do to us, Nan? I hate it. I promise to fight it. To stop time, to have this moment where everything about you is pink lips and an open ear and a soul made of jewels. I should stop talking. I should stop using every last centimetre of tape in your answer phone, but I can't. I can't relent to time. It's the only thing that stands in our way. Just give me this. Just give me this moment. Forever. I wrote a poem on the bus ride about you, or us, really. Want to hear it? Tough? Here goes. If autumn trees and southbound birds can take for them a season's break, then I will make a solemn try to seize some time for you and me. We'll live 10,000 years as new, lovers on satin sheets, our legs awake and arms adrift and mouths agape for sake of seeing with our lips, not eyes, the true wet red and ripe snap green of fruits that do live in endless lees. Flowing capes of bees and flowers, trees and showers, one soft breeze that is all ours, confusing then our skin, which can't tell where you end or I begin. There, in that time of dew and dust, I'll be after our Decembers with you again. I didn't say it was a good poem. Can't promise I won't write another, though. You'll have to kiss the verses out of me, Nan. Nan, let's go out again, Nan. Nan. That name. I adore it. Nan. It's so small. So compact. It says so much, but so little, but so much what? Like, what does a name even say? If you were Stephanie or Margaret or an Evelyn or who's that mystery writer you said you admired so much? Niall Marsh? If you were a Niall, would it matter? What's in a name anyway? Okay, I give up. I've lost this battle. Fucking drunk, falling asleep, making Shakespeare cliches. But I'll keep fighting. Okay. I hope you will too, Nan. Oh God, this message. I just met you. For fuck's sake. No regrets, Indra. No regrets.
Mr. Torres, Gwen Nettles. Hopefully you've seen the report on Glorious Watkins and their show A Mother's Doorway. I understand your concerns about the spread of neo-nationalist messaging in artist collectives, but this group seems too small to spend department energy on. There are only 4 people in the audience that I could identify as outside the company. Plus, while Gorgeous Watkins' messaging could be seen as toxic on a larger scale, I do not believe their work to be accessible to any larger audience. I also do not think there is any danger of the troupe themselves engaging in truly seditious activity. They are enthusiastic, but show little true commitment. I did my thesis on the case of Punk's Opera from 83, and I think there are similarities. That situation showed the danger of treating what is essentially performative angst as if it is an insurgent threat. It tends to be seen as an injustice and incite further unrest. Gorgeous Watkins are a much smaller and less focused group than Punk's Opera was. They clearly pose no threat. They're actually quite endearing in their attempts to be subversive. In an effort to conserve department resources, I am closing this case. But do let me know if you have concerns I have not addressed in the report. Horatio and I followed standard procedure and assumed the names David and Nancy for the Gorgeous Watkins performance operation. In the interest of appearing casual, we introduced ourselves as Dave and Nan. It seemed more appropriate for this artistic crowd. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Thank you, sir.
Within the Wires is written by Janina Mathewson and me, Jeffrey Craner, with original music by Mary Epworth. Find more of Mary's music at maryepworth.com. This show was produced by me and directed this season by Janina. The voice of Indra is Amira Darwish. The voice of Gwen is Norma Butikoffer. This is our 10th and final episode of Season 5. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters throughout the years. And once we have an announcement for Season 6, we'll post it first to patreon.com/withinthewires. And thank all of you for listening. We can't wait to write and produce more for you. Within the Wires is part of Night Vale Presents. Listen to other amazing shows at nightvalepresents.com. Okay, our time is done. It's you time now. Time to pick up the phone, call Morgan Fairchild, whom you haven't spoken to since Black Friday 2007, and talk to them about TikTok memes.
Alice Isn't Dead is a horror thriller road trip from the team behind Welcome to Night Vale, and starring Jessica Nicole of Fringe and Night Vale. A truck driver searches the country for the long-lost wife she thought was dead, but Alice isn't dead. If you love American Gods or Stephen King or Night Vale, you'll love this show. The entire series available to binge now wherever you listen to podcasts.